from WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? You are now locked into WKAR's Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. So honored you've allowed us to be a part of your weekday afternoon. And yes, we will have plenty of chatter centered on last night's national championship game between the Gonzaga Bulldogs and the North Carolina Tar Heels. It was an ugly game. It was not pretty. But in the end, Roy Williams claims his third NCAA national title as head coach of the Tar Heels. We will talk about the game. We'll dive into, of course, that ugly second half. I have an interesting take when it comes to why that game was so ugly and a bit of a contradiction for many basketball fans out there. You don't want to miss that. I want to hear your thoughts on it. Pick up the phone and dial 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. What did you think of last night's national championship game? What did you think of the tournament as a whole? Call in. We will also be inviting to the show, as we now shift the paradigm to, of course, the world of baseball, Jesse Goldberg-Strassler will join me live in Studio S, play-by-play voice of the Lansing Lugnuts, as the Luggies will open up the home season this Saturday. Jesse will talk about all of the fun that fans can expect down at Cooley Law School Stadium this season, new promotions, and also a new manager for the squad this year. You don't want to miss that. And on the back end of the show, we'll talk about the Detroit Tigers. Also, the video of the arrest concerning Kentavious Caldwell-Pope is now, it's now available to the public. I actually watched it this morning, and I tell you what, KCP was very compliant. So what does that mean for the Pistons moving forward now with just a few games left in the season to try and etch a playoff spot in the East? We'll chat about that as well. Again, the phone number to call if you want to be a part of today's show is 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. You can also go to Facebook.com/currentsports. We are currently live streaming the show. And even tweet us at Al Martin, WKAR, or at WKAR_sports. You know what's next. Here are your Current Sports Quick Hit Headliners. All right, and we start with last night's natty ship. The North Carolina Tar Heels held off the Gonzaga Bulldogs 71-65 last night to win the 2017 NCAA Men's Basketball Championship. The Heels were led by senior point guard Joel Berry's 22 points despite the rest of the team shooting very poorly. Nigel Williams-Goss led the Zags with 15 points despite turning an ankle down the stretch, which proved costly for Mark Few's squad. This marks Roy Williams' third national title with the Tar Heels, and he is now one of six coaches all-time for men's Division I hoops with three or more national championships. Perhaps the biggest storyline of the game, though, is centered around the officiating. Many people feel like the officiating was poor, many calls were called, and a lot of folks decided to express that displeasure via Twitter. We will address that and so much more in just a moment. Don't go anywhere. Georgetown University has hired former basketball star Patrick Ewing to be its next head coach. Ewing will place John Thompson III, who is the son of Ewing's former coach when he played with the Hoyas, John Thompson Jr. In a statement yesterday, Ewing said, quote, "Georgetown is my home, and it is a great honor for me to return to my alma mater and serve as the next head coach." Ewing has spent his previous few years as an associate head coach with the Charlotte Hornets and will take over a Hoyas program that went just 14-18 last season. Suspended University of Michigan wide receiver Grant Perry has a trial date set for May 15th. The trial will be a jury trial as the wideout faces two misdemeanor counts of fourth-degree criminal sexual assault, one felony count of resisting a police officer and one misdemeanor count for minor in possession of alcohol. Now, according to the court, Perry's May 15th court date is being held in the calendar of the judge. But he is still, does have a pretrial conference on April 13th in Lansing, where his case could be decided via plea deal before it reaches a trial. Perry was suspended for 2 games by Jim Harbaugh following the incident, but he then returned for the final 4 games last season. All right, the Michigan State versus Northwestern football game for next year has been moved to Saturday, October 28th. Mark that change on your calendar. The two teams were originally slated to play Friday, the 27th, as a part of the Big Ten's initiative to play more Friday night football games. However, Northwestern officials did not like the change, and the game has been moved to a normal Saturday slot. The conference scaled back both Northwestern Friday games, as their game against Maryland was also pushed back to Saturday. That was the only scheduled Friday night game for Michigan State, though it is possible the season opener against Bowling Green could be moved up to Friday night, something Michigan State has done in the past 6 seasons. Good news for baseball fans and Detroit Tigers fans, as the forecast for today's game with the Chicago White Sox looks much better than yesterday's miserable rainy weather. It will be an overcast 53 degrees when the first pitch comes, as the 2017 campaign kicks off for both teams. The game is being made up today, which was a built-in off day after being postponed yesterday. The scheduled pitching matchup will remain the same, as Tigers ace Justin Verlander, JV, will square off against White Sox ace Jose Quintana. The game's first pitch is scheduled for 2:10 p.m., right after we sign off here on WKAR AM 870, 94.5 FM, 2:10 p.m. Eastern Time, and will be shown on Fox Sports Detroit. All right, the Detroit Red Wings continue to fight hard despite being eliminated from playoff contention. They defeated the Ottawa Senators. What a game last night in a shootout, 5-4. Rookie Evgeny Svechnikov, I nailed it today, folks, made his NHL debut for the Wings and scored the game-winning goal in the shootout for Detroit. I actually saw that highlight. What a game as a rookie. Your first game, and that happens? Unbelievable. Tomas Tatar, Franz Nielsen, Gustav Nyquist, and Dylan Larkin scored the 4 regulation goals for Detroit. Goalie Peter Mrazek got the win for the Wings. Detroit is back in action tonight, once again against the Senators at 7 p.m. from Ottawa. Jimmy Howard will get the start in net for the Wings, and the game will be shown on FSD. The NHL announced yesterday that it will not be sending its players to play in the 2018 Winter Olympics in South Korea. In the past, the league has taken a break from the NHL schedule during the games so that its stars could go play for their respective countries during the Olympics. Many players are upset, and the NHL Players Association called the decision, quote, short-sighted, end quote. The main reason for the decision is the owner's desire to keep its players healthy for the NHL year. Many players, including the Washington Capitals' Alex Ovechkin, have said they would consider playing in the Olympics regardless. Other players took to Twitter to blast the decision, like the Rangers' Henrik Lundqvist and the Senators' Erik Karlsson. All right, according to various reports this morning, Dallas Cowboys quarterback Tony Romo has decided to leave football for the broadcast booth with CBS. Romo has reached an agreement with the company to replace Phil Sims and be its number one color commentator, joining Jim Nance every Sunday. Boy, the broadcasting world is a cutthroat when Isaac, this dude goes from 1 year removed from football to taking a job of Phil Sims just like that. How crazy is that, dude?
He's a personable guy, but those are some shoes to fill. That's for sure.
Yeah, but I don't think that's fair to Sims either. I mean, come on,
no
dude.
No pun intended, shoes to fill.
Yeah, I like that. All right, the Cowboys are expected to release Romo today. Sources said that Romo's decision came down to health and family, which at 37 years of age are paramount to him. Romo's spot with Nance now puts him in line to work Super Bowl 53 in Atlanta in 2019 when CBS gets the big game back under contract. That wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. Call in to be a part of the show, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Again, go to facebook.com/currentsports. Where we are live streaming the show, and tweet us at Al Martin WKAR or at WKAR underscore sports. Let's start the show.
And there you are. You're running for your life. You're a shooting star. And all the years, no one knows just how hard you work. But now it shows.
Fisher Davis went to the court. No good. And Northwestern has won.
Wisconsin, they have knocked out the defending national champions.
The 2-seed Duke Blue Devils are out.
The time is short, and the road is long. In the blinking of an eye.
This is an opportunity for growth, and you have to use it as such.
The coach's son and dad with a smile.
Brilliance on full display.
His chance to show what he can do against Lonzo Ball.
Feel the beat of your heart. Feel the wind in your
devoured face. By Bell.
It's more than a contest. It's more.
Finish. Joe Walter. Oh! How cool is that? Chioza.
Young lady's gonna be on the internet all night. She's smiling.
Monk to tie it. Oh, an impossible shot. May for the win. North Carolina. Victor Nuggets.
You always hit your face. Cause inside you know.
Williams Goss. And one.
Gonzaga is going to be playing for the national championship.
He's going to go baseline. Loader.
That was amazing. Loader McGinnis beats. Carolina saves it on the glass. Gonzaga, North Carolina for the national championship.
One shining moment.
The confetti. It's going to fall for North Carolina. They're not going to be denied this time.
And that is how we start this afternoon's Current Sports. Welcome to the show, ladies and gents, boys and girls. I am your host, Al Martin. Yeah, let it soak in. The national championship is in the books, and the men's college basketball year sadly comes to an end. Of course, that was the fantastic rendition of One Shining Moment, of course, recorded by the great late Luther Vandross. That is the best postseason compilation in all of sports. Watching the incredible moments throughout the tournament sung by Luther. That song is so iconic. I love it. I love it. I get emotional every time I see it every year. What a tournament. What a tournament. March is officially now in the books, and North Carolina raised the championship trophy last night out in Arizona. And I want to ask you all, now that the tournament is in the books, I have a few questions, actually, but I want to start with this question for you all. Did this year's NCAA tourney live up to the billing in comparison to years past? How would you rate it? On a scale from 1 to 10, what do you think? Call in 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. I can tell you ratings-wise, last night's NCAA championship game garnered a 14.1 rating. That is stellar, folks. That is actually up 21% from last year's national championship game, in which Villanova hit a heartbreaker three-pointer to win the entire thing against North Carolina. Up 21%. A lot of people watching last night's game. The Tar Heels making history. And before I propose an interesting take when it comes to last night officiating, I want to just dwindle out a few historic notes when it comes to the Tar Heels. North Carolina gets their sixth championship in program history. That actually puts them third all-time behind UCLA and Kentucky. UNC becomes just the fourth team to bounce back and win a championship after finishing runner-up the year prior. North Carolina also becomes the first school ever with championships in, count them, four consecutive decades. That's pretty impressive. And this is the first time that UNC won all year while being out-rebounded. The Tar Heels only had four turnovers while forcing 14 and were, and I thought it would come down to this, because they were the more experienced team, the senior leadership when it comes to that Tar Heels team. They were more disciplined when it mattered most. Roy Williams coached his 100th NCAA tournament game in the final. How cool is that, right? He's now 76-24 all-time, including a 42-10 record at UNC. He passed mentor Dean Smith by earning his third national championship and becomes one of six coaches to have won three titles, joining the great John Wooden, who won an unprecedented 10. Coach K, Mike Krzyzewski, with 5. Adolph Rupp with 4. Bobby Knight with 3. And Jim Calhoun with 3. Impressive stuff, folks. And, you know, I was kind of petty last night because you guys know we had the conversation on our airwaves with college basketball reporter, producer, and host for CBS Radio, Deshaun Tate, who, by the way, Isaac Constance, our engineer of WKR's Current Sports. Deshaun, I don't know if you saw his Facebook page last night. He was covering the Final Four for CBS Radio in Atlanta, and he took a picture with Odell Beckham Jr. How cool is that, right? Odell was in the house. He was like front row, I think. How cool is that?
Rooting for UNC as well. I saw he was actually behind the scenes, yeah, welcoming them in their locker room saunter onto the court. So, right. Yeah, Odell was there. And
Michael
no
Phelps.
Surprise that he's a UNC fan.
Yeah, I think he sat right next to Michael Phelps.
He did. And yeah, then the most surprising UNC fan, you know who it is, don't you?
Who?
Chris Jenkins. Last year's heartbreaker. He was behind the UNC bench wearing a University of North Carolina Tar Heels t-shirt. It was one of the most random sports occurrences I've ever seen.
That makes no sense. Why?
It doesn't.
Did he give an explanation as to why? I'm confused as to why Chris Jenkins would wear a North Carolina jersey behind the bench.
I'll have to look that up. Yeah,
yeah. Please. There must be some ties, or maybe he's just that good of a guy where he knows how much of a heartbreaker that was for UNC fans last year that he wanted to kind of support them in the national championship. Who knows?
So apparently, Grant Essenmacher, production assistant, just told me that his half-brother plays for UNC.
Oh, I knew there had to be a tie.
Makes a lot more sense. But
yeah, that makes
even
sense.
So, I mean, boy, that must have been some family rivalry and animosity at the dinner table all this last year until UNC eventually got their vindication.
For sure. I hear you on that. All right. Well, that's an interesting tidbit. I didn't know that. But yeah, I mean, it was a great atmosphere last night out in Arizona. Packed house. Always cool to see a basketball court right in the middle of a football stadium. That's always fun to watch. But I tell you what, a lot of people felt like it was not fun to watch for the most part when it comes to the X's and O's of the game. An ugly game. Ugly game. North Carolina hit just 36% from the field. For the first time this year, Gonzaga was outshot as they hit only 34% from their field goals. As a team, the Tar Heels missed 11 of 13 three-point tries in the first half. Get this, they finished 4 of 27 from the three-point line with one man, that being Joe Berry, hitting all 4. 4 of 27, folks. That amounts for a 14.8 percentage from behind the three-point line. The officiating, many felt like it was distractingly awful. There were 44 fouls called, which is just two fewer than the number of baskets made. And a lot of people went on Twitter and completely bashed the officials. Many people even went as far as to bash the college game. And some high-profile names, too. LeBron James, who was considered the best basketball player in the world. LeBron wasn't happy with the heavy whistles that bogged down the proceedings, saying, quote, "Man, I can't watch this anymore, man." That's my impression of LeBron James' voice. I can't watch this anymore, man. I would like to see the kids decide who wins the game. I mean, bruh. Shaking my head, end quote. That's from LBJ. Even Dwayne Wade decided to chime in. Former teammates, of course, with the Miami Heat. Wade now with the Bulls. LeBron now with the Cavs. Dwayne tweeted, quote, let the kids play. Put the whistles away, end quote. And I tell you what, it wasn't eyesore. Let's just keep it real. Even though televisions didn't turn off, when you look at the ratings, 14.1 is pretty good, folks. Again, that's up 21% from last year. And I must say that if you look at a few, maybe two calls I disagree with, especially the flagrant foul called on Karnowski on the scramble for the ball between him and Barry. But I tell you what, I'm going against the grain here because I am not in the majority in saying this, but I thought that overall the game was officiated quite well. Now, I was like you, folks. After watching that game last night, I went to bed saying to myself, that was ugly. That was horrible. The officiating was horrible. Atrocious. But thank goodness for this little thing called DVR because you know what? I woke up early today, around 6 a.m. actually. I really couldn't sleep last night. And I DVR last night's game, and I watched the majority of that second half because I really wanted to just give it a fresh look, just to see whether or not the officiating was that awful, or were we just kind of living in the moment and just saying to ourselves, you know what, the pace is so bad, there's stoppages left and right. At one point, it really tickled me because there was a foul called. Prior to that, there were two fouls called prior to this particular foul, and then what happens? After that, a media timeout takes place. So then we have to sit through a minute and 30 seconds of commercials before we come back and resume play. The pace, as a fan watching the game, as a fan of college basketball watching that game, the pace was awful. But folks, the officiating was consistent. And I thought after giving that game a fresh look, a fresh pair of eyes this morning, the officiating was not that bad. I got to be real with you. I encourage anyone who says that to really look at that game last night in the final moments. Because it amazed me because, you know, you can always, and what made me go back and actually look at the game, because I was watching the post-game press conference when it comes to Roy Williams and Mark Few, and I was waiting on that question to come from the media. What did you think of the officiating? Because the pace was so bad. You knew that the media was going to take that angle, right? And to my surprise, in the moment watching it, Williams and Few did not bash the officials. Heck, Mark Few even praised them. And I believe we have that bite queued up. Here's what Mark Few had to say at the conclusion of that game concerning the officials.
No, I'm not going to talk about refs. It was just a physical game. You know, I thought we did a really good job on the boards. You know, that was our main focus before the game. They're a really good rebound team. I thought we battled really good. You know, we didn't let them score a lot in transition. Those were two main goals before the game. So, you know, it's just how it is. I thought it went both ways.
Okay, first of all, I mean, those were three of the best officials in the entire country, NBA, college, or anything. I thought they did a great job. I mean, these are two heavyweight teams going at it inside, playing really, really physical basketball. You still have to officiate the game of basketball, and that's what they did. I had no issue whatsoever. I thought they did a fabulous job, you know, and I'm on the losing end. And it's just not an easy game to ref, man. We're throwing the ball inside. They're throwing the ball inside. Our guards go downhill. Their guards go downhill. You know, so it's, I thought they were great.
Mark Few, quote, I thought they were great. Head coach of the Gonzaga Bulldogs. And prior to his voice, you heard the voice of big man Karnowski, who also praised the referees. And that's what got my attention. When I heard Few and Karnowski make those statements after, I said, okay. And there's one thing to say that, okay, I thought the referees were solid. They were good. But to go on and praise them the way that, especially Mark Few did, I had to go back and watch the game. And as I watched that second half, especially the final 10 minutes of the game when the pace was virtually non-existent. If you look at the fouls that were called, they were the same calls that the officials were calling at the very beginning of the game in the first half. They were so consistent. And to be honest with you all, when it comes to the rule book of the NCAA, when it comes to the officiating rule book, which is tied the hands of defenders left and right, I mean, heck, any sort of contact, you're supposed to blow the whistle, right? The referees stuck to the book. I can't blame the referees after watching that game a second time last night. What I can blame, though, is what the game of basketball has evolved to today. Just look at the numbers, folks. 4 of 27 from three. That is what North Carolina shot last night. 4 of 27. And when you evaluate the play of certain players, and one particular player I want to call out, Justin Jackson, who had a great NCAA tourney. Great NCAA tourney. So consistent. Heck, the Tar Heels wouldn't be in the position they are if dating back to last year, if Justin Jackson didn't say, you know what, I want to come back for another year and make a run at this thing. When you look at it, Justin Jackson threw up some horrible shots last night. Shots that had me scratching my head saying, are you kidding me? Early in the shot clock, two hands in his face at one point, just forcing it up, trying to force his offense instead of letting the game rhythm come to him. If any player really played within the flow of the game, it was Barry early on. I thought Barry, for the most part, had a solid game. 7 of 19 from the floor, that's a lot of shots. Not a great field goal percentage, but Barry hit big buckets when the Tar Heels needed it. But some of the shot selection was horrid last night. North Carolina, again, shooting 14.8% from the three-point line. Gonzaga, 8 of 19, 42% from the three-point line. And Gonzaga, at one point in the second half, was shooting a dismal, just knocking on the door of 20%. Horrible. And I don't understand. This is what the game has become today. First off, fans don't like good defense. Because I thought on multiple possessions throughout that game, I thought there was great defense played from Gonzaga. And during stretches of that game, I thought it was great defense played by North Carolina. Especially Karnowski, who was a big name coming into this game. How about the job that North Carolina front court did? In particular, May. Luke May did a heck of a job on Karnowski to have him heading into the half with a donut in the points column. Great defense. But fans don't want to see good defense anymore. Fans want to see high-powered offense going down the floor, back and forth, three-pointers raining left and right. I mean, just look at the popularity of the NBA today. Look at the Golden State Warriors. That's like America's team now in the National Basketball Association. Fans lose their minds when Golden State is running that fast-paced offense up and down, fast break. You know, it's like the modern-day Showtime with what the Lakers used to put on back in the 80s, but with more threes instead of layups, right? That's what fans like. So the moment that defense comes into play and you start seeing missed shots due to good defense, fans get instantly turned off and they start complaining. That's what happened last night. That's what happened last night, folks. When it comes to the popular opinion, and then the easy cop-out is the easiest cop-out in all of sports. When pace is being stagnant and shots aren't going in and fouls are being called, the easy thing to do is to blame the refs. Simple as that. And I thought it was pretty comical. Now that I had a chance to sleep on it and I looked at the tweets of LeBron James, quote, man, I can't watch this anymore, man. I would like to see the kids decide who wins the game. I mean, bruh, shaking my head. And then D. Wade let the kids play, put the whistles away, which sounds like a nursery rhyme. D. Wade and LeBron, I chuckle when I read those tweets because they are the direct beneficiaries of fouls called in the NBA. That's what they live off of. I mean, LeBron James and Dwayne Wade, when you look at the numbers year after year after year, they are among the league leaders in drawing fouls in the game. And that's how they get a lot of points. So I thought it was funny that they're saying, I'll put the whistles away when it comes to their own respective games. That's how they make their cheddar. I thought that was funny. Now, I do agree that the flagrant foul on Karnowski on the scramble for the ball between him and Barry, that was a bad call. I mean, and then they even a stoppage of play where you had the referee, you know, it was like, it was just theater. The referee going over and talking to Jim Nance, talking to Bill Rafferty and Grant Hill, saying, hey, this is what's going to happen. Then the cameras going over to that conversation like it was a reality TV show or something like that. That was a bad call. But for the most part, the referees were consistent throughout that game. Fans just want to see high-powered offenses go at it left and right. And I even saw, you know, a few basketball purists that I grew up with tweeting about the game, upset with the pace and not looking at the other side, saying that, you know what, maybe this is good defense. I challenge you to go take another look at that game. This is what the game has evolved to, though. You know, you can't have it both ways here. Either you are going to encourage good defense and praise good defense when you see it, or simply complain when you see shots go up that don't find the bottom of the net. And also on the flip side of this thing, North Carolina and Gonzaga, when they were shooting horrible, they could have done one simple thing. Go to the hole. Young kids got to learn today in today's basketball that the jump shot isn't falling. Go to the hole. It's simple. That's an easy way to get you into the flow of the game. So I have a catch-22 when evaluating last night's game. I'm not going on the majority and bashing the rest because I, like Roy Williams and Mark Few, I thought that the referees did a solid job last night. Joe Barry, 22 points. He received the Most Outstanding Player Award. Isaiah Hicks also refound his form, went for 13 points on 5 of 9 shooting, grabbed 9 boards. In the national semifinal, they were a combined 3 for 26 from the field. Joe Barry became the first player to score 20 or more points in consecutive titles since the great Bill Walton, who I really can't stand on the broadcast there, Isaac, but he was a heck of a player, wasn't he? And also Nigel Williams-Goss showed a lot of grit, 15 points, 9 boards, 6 assists in 39 minutes, got swarmed by that UNC defense, which was great for the most part all night, and he tried to play during an ankle injury with 1:25 left, but it just wasn't enough, was not enough. And also Zach Collins fouled out the game with 5 minutes left to play. He had 9.7 rebounds. I do believe this change needs to happen, though. The NCAA has got to go to 6 fouls. If you're going to call the game as tightly as the rule book says you should nowadays, you got to go to 6 fouls. You got to mimic what the NBA does. And I think it will go a long way in preparing college athletes who are trying to make that leap to professional basketball. It will go a long way in preparing them when it comes to 6 fouls when they get to that next level anyway. I think that's a crime, and I think that does need to be changed. But I'm curious to hear your thoughts on last night's game. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Let's hit our first break. When I come back, I'm going to get the takes of Engineer Isaac Constance, as well as, here's a dear friend of the show, play-by-play voice of the Lansing Lugnuts, Jesse Goldberg-Strassler, because he's not just a baseball aficionado, but he watches all things sports, and I'm pretty sure he was tuned into that game last night as well. Jesse will join us live here in studio. Don't go anywhere. We will be right back. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Again, if you want to be a part of our airwaves, we have less than 30 minutes left to go. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. In segment A, of course, we recap last night's national championship game played between, of course, the North Carolina Tar Heels and the Gonzaga Bulldogs. Many people complain that the game just had horrible officiating. There was no pace. It was not fun to watch. And I tell you what, I agree. It wasn't fun to watch. You know, it was an ugly game, a lot of bad shots left and right. But at the end of the day, when it comes to the officiating part of this whole thing, I went against the majority and said that I thought that the officiating, for the most part, was solid. That wasn't the problem. That wasn't why that game was so bad to watch. It was just how the game went. The ebb and flow of it. I mean, it's not always fun to watch bad shots being taken, number one, and a defensive battle, a defensive physical battle. What do you think? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Right now, I want to invite to the show, of course, current sports engineer Isaac Constance, as well as our guest for today's current sports, our dear friend and voice of the Lansing Lugnuts, Jesse Goldberg-Strassler. Jesse, of course, is a fan of just sports in general, not just baseball. Gentlemen, first off, how are you both doing? Isaac, we heard from you in segment A. How you doing, my man?
Good. Tired. Tired. Long game. Late start last night because, of course, it was in Phoenix. So
right.
Adapted to that. But at the same time, I didn't think it was as bad of a championship game as everybody is preaching. At the same time, and I'll let Jesse get on here to take it away, but I did have a few problems with the officiating last night. And I agree with you. It's not that it was inconsistent. But in some ways, you'd rather it be inconsistently good than consistently bad or too touchy-cally, and that's why I thought it was.
That's how they rule it. Now, that is the college game today,
I know.
Jesse, you watched last night's national championship game, and I tell you what, despite how much of an eyesore it was in the eyes of many, again, a 14.1 rating, that's up 21% from last year's national championship game. What did you think about how that game went along?
I want to go back to something that you said. You mentioned the defense. Mm-hmm. Remember the NBA All-Star game? Remember how much everybody hated the fact that no defense was shown whatsoever?
Right.
Defense in sports is generally unattractive.
It is.
If there's a football game where it's nothing but punts because each team's D is not allowing anything, we don't want to see that. In hockey, if there's a team that's just trapping and grinding and there's nothing the other team can do, Devils of the 1990s, we don't want to see that. We don't want to see a low-scoring baseball game where nobody can hit it.
Mm-hmm.
This was a defensive game. So if I was a fan of North Carolina, I would have loved it. As a fan of basketball, it wasn't attractive. But you know what? It was two teams that were grinding on each other and physical play. And yes, they called it close because both of those teams, against everybody else that they faced all year long, they used their advantage in the post.
Mm-hmm.
They're both bigger and stronger than everybody, right? North Carolina had never been out-rebounded before. So it wasn't attractive basketball. But as a championship, you probably saw the best two teams in the country.
I agree. And you know, it's funny you bring it up, Jesse, because in many ways, the officials and the upper echelons of both the NCAA when it comes to basketball, as well as the NBA, they have catered the rule book now to favor the offensive player. They understand that usually high-powered offense leads to good ratings. So last night, they will certainly be taking a close look at that game, I'm sure, right?
It's freedom. And I think back, John Wooden, in one of his books, he wrote, "You want to know why I pushed my UCLA team to go fast break style up and down the courts? Because it's about the fans more than the players.
Mm-hmm.
If the people watching us don't care, if they don't pay for their tickets, they're not entertained, well, I can't really succeed if I don't have fans." So yes, the attractiveness of the sport does matter.
For sure. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527 is the number to call. We actually are going to take two quick calls, Jesse, before we talk some baseball, the Lansing Lugnuts. Let's go to line one right now. We actually have Jason Kabul, who is in Afghanistan.
From Kabul, Afghanistan.
Oh,
Jason's
Kabul.
Calling
oh,
in. Yeah.
Okay, you didn't put an apostrophe there, Isaac. Come on, brother. Jason from Kabul, Afghanistan. Jason, how are you doing, my friend? Thanks for listening.
Well, my brother Al, how in the world is going back there in Michigan? You know, we're getting short over here. We're almost done. So, but what the crazy thing is here is to see the camera on Jesse right now. It's kind of funny watching him talk a little late due to the delay and everything here in the video and live feed. But
right,
you know what? Sat and watched the game last night, and the officiating was atrocious. From, you know, just the way they were calling it. They were calling too many stupid fouls. I do not think the guy from Gonzaga should have fouled out. Collins was looking great. Everything he was doing was great. And then I think if he would have stayed in, I think hands down, Gonzaga would have beat North Carolina by 3. But it didn't happen. But what I'm excited about, we had a rainout yesterday there in Chicago for our Tigers versus them Scrub Sox down there. And what I can't wait to get home for here in, 40-some days or so, what I can't wait to get home for is to come out there on a Thursday night to the park there and have a little bit of Thirsty Thursday out there. And, you know, it is that time of the year the students that are there for the summer classes at Michigan State are going to be out there partying, just like some old man that gets back home from Afghanistan is going to be out there partying.
That's great. So, Jason, are you right now still in Afghanistan as we speak?
I am.
Wow.
It is quarter after 11 or quarter after 10 at night on Tuesday.
Wow. And I'm assuming, are you serving over there?
I am.
Wow. On behalf of us all here at WKAR's Current Sports, we want to say thank you, my man. And you make some very interesting points and appreciate your listenership.
And, hey, what I can't wait to see is what you're going to do out there. Actually, you probably just did it last week if you were out there at the Battlefield Brawl again.
Yes,
Jay and the guys. You know, I'm not able to be out there, but I know Justin was representing me out there. So, but hey, man, I can't wait to get back out there to the Lansing area, get doing stuff with New World Flood again, hook up with you a little bit.
Yeah.
And, you know, definitely come out there and see Jesse and everybody over there at the stadium. So, you know, time's almost up. So, but hey, you guys have a good one, and I will see you guys all soon.
Hey, Jason, you let me know when you arrive at Cooley Law School Stadium. You let me know what I can do for you.
All right, we will do, Jesse. That will not be a problem.
How about that? Jason is one of my favorite guys here in the area. And I tell you what, you know, when you talk to somebody who is serving this country, it just kind of puts everything in perspective for sure. Jason,
in the present tense.
Yes, in the present tense. And Jason, we wish you well, my man. I can't wait to see you when you get back. All right.
All right, brother. We will see you soon.
You got it. All right. And one more call, Jesse. We've got Camille on line two from Lansing. Camille, what's on your mind?
Oh, what's going on now? I just called to talk about the game from last night real quick. So just my small rant in about a couple seconds or less. One, I do agree with you when it comes to the officiating. I think that it was consistent, and I don't think that was the problem with the game. I didn't really have a dog in the fight, so I just really wanted to see a good game. What I think is if somebody went back statistically and was to look at all the missed foul shots, I think Gonzaga would have won that game.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I think that the officials was fair. I think everybody went to the line and had the same opportunities. But I think both of those teams blew that entire game at the free throw line.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's a great point. That was another point I wanted to bring up, Jesse, because if you look at the stats, UNC actually should have won easily. I mean, when you look at the stats, the Tar Heels miss, again, I noted this, 23 threes, right? 4 of 27. 11 free throws, though. 15 of 26 from the line. You hit your free throws, you win that game easily, right?
It's a big stage. That's not getting defended. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Camille, great point, and thanks for listening. Appreciate that.
Yep, no problem. You guys have a good night.
You got it. But, yeah, I mean, a lot of games are won and lost at the free throw line. And actually, you know, looking at all of those missed free throws from UNC, I couldn't help but have flashbacks to when they almost gave the game up in the Final Four, right, to Oregon, where they go to the free throw line. Joe Berry goes up. He can't make his free throws. And then you have Luke May go to the free throw line. They miss four free throws in the last 5 seconds of the game that could have put it away. They ended up winning due to Jordan Bell not boxing out. But my goodness, UNC did everything to give that game away, didn't they?
They learned the wrong lesson. That's not the recipe for winning, right? Except that's how they won.
Exactly. All right, Jesse, let's talk some baseball again. Jesse Goldberg-Strassler now joins us. He has been joining us here since segment B. He's live here in Studio S to talk some Lansing Lugnuts baseball. He is the play-by-play voice of the Lansing Lugnuts. Jesse, what year is this for you now with the Lugnuts?
Number nine.
How cool is that? I'm curious where that ranks as far as looking at the entire minor league baseball scene and those who do play-by-play. What your tenure with 9 years, what does that rank?
I'm one of the longest in the Midwest League, likely.
Wow.
But then you get up to AAA, you get up to AA, you get to those teams that have been around for a while, those teams that have been around longer than the Lugnuts have been around.
Yeah.
There have been broadcasters for their team. You got to go back to the 90s, before that, the 80s, maybe guys into the 70s. So
wow.
There are some old pros out there.
That is very, very cool stuff. And Jesse, I mean, you are, of course, a talent. I'm wondering, I'm curious, what has kept you around Lansing this long?
I love it. The people. The people around here, it's the people in the front office, the people who come out and support the Lansing Lugnuts, the media in the area, getting able to work with you and with Isaac. It's so enjoyable. It makes my life easy.
For sure. And I tell you what, I'll never forget when I first met Jesse as a just this kid in college, a sophomore in college, trying to make this old sports broadcasting dream come true. And Jesse, when I first met him in the booth at Cooley Law School Stadium, he was doing a game there, and he was so welcoming with open arms, one of the best in the biz and one of the best people in the biz. Jesse, I got to ask, my man, I know Kevin Gill is now gone. He's gone on to greener pastures, I guess, right?
Voice of the Suns in Hagerstown, Maryland.
I'm wondering, is there going to be anybody else in the booth with you this year?
I'm going to be joined by a student from Central Michigan for the first month. His name is Chris Jared, junior going into his senior year next year. He's going to help me out in April. And then starting in May, a broadcaster by the name of Matt Schumacher, former Butler Bulldog, former track and field star, who has gone from first he was in short season ball. Last year he was with AA Pensacola in the red system, and he's going to join me starting in May. He has to first finish up his obligations to the Big East Network.
Wow.
And then he's coming in.
Then he's coming over. That's a big-time get. Have you guys chatted beforehand?
Oh, yeah. Oh, we've talked a lot, especially getting him all set for this year because he's joining a new organization.
Wow, that's very cool stuff. All right, Jesse, a lot of people, just like Jason noted, are excited about the promotions that you guys have every year. Thirsty Thursday, I assume, is one that isn't going away anytime soon, right?
I mean, Thursday is still a part of the week, right?
Exactly. Jesse, what new promotions do you guys have planned for the fans?
Well, for anybody who has a dog, we're doing Dog Days of Summer every Monday. Every single Monday home game, bring your dog out to the ballpark. Opening day, we decided needed to be more special. So this coming Saturday, it's not just our first home game of the year. Mm. It's a block party. We are shutting down Michigan Avenue between Cedar and Larch Streets. We're going to have a live concert from Global Village. We've got brand new jerseys, home, road, batting practice. We'll show them off that day. And we usually do about meet the team with the players sometime during this week. Meet the team is going to be before that game, starting at 3 o'clock with autographs. Get to meet the entire Lansing Lugnuts. That's this Saturday with fireworks, thanks to Laugh You after the game.
Is the block party happening that day as well?
3 o'clock to
wow.
6 o'clock, game time 6:05.
Very cool stuff. Go on out, folks. It's always an amazing time, and I can't believe that baseball season is already here. And you know what, Jesse? I did a story, I believe, make sure my memory's right here, this past summer on the new turf at Cooley Law School Stadium, right?
Not only brand new jerseys, brand new baseball caps, brand new field. And when we say brand new field, it's not like they just plucked up all of the grass, mowed the lawn, planted some new grass. They tore it entirely up. Brand new warning tracks, better drainage for when it rains, so that way we can still play baseball. And yeah, the field is pristine. First new field in 11 years.
That's very cool stuff as well. And Jesse, how have the players taken to it? Do they like it?
Oh, they love it because no bad hops. When you're a player, what do you want? You want the finest. You go out to a hotel, you want the best hotel. You eat food, you want delicious food. Now they get to play. Their home field is going to be the best in the league.
Jesse, what familiar faces do we have returning here? You just came in and gave me an official roster when it comes to opening day later this week. What familiar faces can we expect from last year's team?
Our top two pitchers both pitched with us last year when they were young.
Okay.
20-year-old Justin Maese throws 95 with a killer slider that can get up there around 89 to 91. Mm-hmm. He's going to be our ace on opening day. He's fantastic. He might not be with us after a couple of months if he pitches the way I expect. Patrick Murphy, they say he can throw 100. Let's expect him to throw 94 to 97 with a hammer of a curveball.
Mm-hmm.
Top two starters. And then if you were there for the Crosstown Showdown last year against Michigan State,
right?
You remember the home run derby before the game?
Great. First time you guys have done that, I believe, right?
They sent us to join the Lugnuts for that day, a couple of teenagers named Bo Bichette and Vladimir Guerrero Jr. And Bichette cranked 12 homers, and Vladdy Jr. hit a ball off the video board. They start this year with us. Vladdy is 18. Bo is 19. They are two of the top prospects in the entire minor leagues.
What's the dynamic like, Jesse, when you mention those new names, those new faces, intermingled with some of the guys that have been here with the team last season? What's that mentorship like between the old and the new?
I want you to picture, remember first going to college and you're a freshman. When you meet those people who've been there, sophomore, junior, senior, who take you under their wing, they mentor you. They get to show you, hey, go out and eat at this restaurant. You're not going to like going around here. Come out to here. This is the best place to hang out. The people who give the advice, that's what I love. And what the Blue Jays are so good at is they scout for character. So a catcher like Ryan Hissey, who won our Community Player of the Year last year for his work going into hospitals, he's back to help show the team here's how a player acts. Michael De La Cruz, who was with us 2 years ago, another great guy. You know what? If you join us and you don't speak too much English, Michael is bilingual. He can help translate. And we've got bilingual players to help guys get acclimated. That's the biggest thing. The players that get sent back, first, the league is easier for them because now they've been here, they're not intimidated. And second, they make sure that the guys who struggle, you know what, Vladdy Jr., I struggled last year too. Don't worry about it. We'll be okay.
And speaking of new faces and new names, of course, this is the third straight year where the Lugnuts go into a season with a new manager. John Schneider has moved on. And now Cesar Martin takes over. Can you talk about his road to Lansing?
We talk about baseball prospects when it comes to players. I think, Al, we got ourselves a managerial prospect. Cesar Martin was signed as a teenager out of the Dominican. He knows the feeling. The last 2 years, he was managing rookie ball in the Gulf Coast League. He skipped up three rungs of the ladder to get here. Why did he? Well, 2 years ago, his team went 39-19. Mm-hmm. And then last year, they went 39-17. The man doesn't lose. He is so good with young players. He's such a good in-game manager and outside of the white lines manager with the clubhouse. You're going to love him, and not just because of that last name. The players love Cesar Martin.
And I can't wait, because this Saturday at the home opener, I will be interviewing Cesar and getting my chance to meet him for the first time. And I'm really looking forward to that interview. Again, for fans out there, again, the home opener is this Saturday. Again, what time, Jesse?
First pitch is 6:05, post-game Laugh Cue fireworks, but I want you to come 3 o'clock to Michigan Avenue. That's when the block party begins. That's when Meet the Team begins, and there might just be a battle of high school drum lines there, too.
Really? Oh, okay. Yeah. A bit of a tease there, right? All right, Jesse, and also, I want to note, again, it's something you just said earlier in the interview, the new digs, because I love them. I mean, the new hats, the logo. Can you also talk about that a bit? Because I think it's pretty fly. I need to go and get me a new cap right now.
All right, so we renovated the stadium, right? New video boards, the outfield development beyond center field, 360-degree concourse, and more. More things can change to make this team feeling brand new in its 22nd year. So brand new field for the players to play on. And yes, 3 entirely new baseball caps. Big luggy face on the front. The gray is going to be the road cap. The red luggy is going to be the batting practice cap. And then we've got an alternate cap with this double script L. Looks really classy. Mm-hmm. That's another alternate cap. Whatever day you show up at the ballpark, we might be wearing different gear. We're going to be a little bit like Oregon or Baylor or something like that.
Right.
And this also, I said on Saturday, the Meet the Team, that's your first chance to see what those caps go with, because we've redesigned the home jersey, we've redesigned the road jersey, there's going to be some more silver, and we've redesigned the batting practice jersey. This was a huge project that took the entire, like, during last season, this was getting done, and it got approved by Minor League Baseball, and the players love it.
I'm sure. They received those jerseys yesterday, right, at Media Day.
They're breathable, they're comfortable, and they're the hat I said was classy. Some of these jerseys are flashy.
I love it. Did you have a hand in the designing process?
I'm curious. Not one bit. No.
You're a fly dude, so I was wondering. Okay.
They came to me after the fact. They said, by the way, we've got news. And they whip out the cap and they say, what do you think about this?
Well, I'm pretty sure you approve.
I love it. I love when a team takes chances.
Yeah.
I love when a team does something that's not the norm. And this is something that is making the Lugnuts stand out compared to the entire country. All of the United States and baseball fans are going to know these caps.
Jesse Goldberg-Strassler, again, play-by-play voice of the Lansing Lugnuts. Go out and check out the Luggies home opener this Saturday starting at 3 o'clock. That's when the fun begins, right?
3 o'clock block party, 3 till 6, 6 first pitch.
Jesse, thank you so much for joining us.
Al, thank you.
Final break. When we come back, we will put a bow on today's current sports by chatting briefly about the Detroit Pistons and the arrest of Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. That dash cam footage was released this morning. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Jesse. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. We just finished up chatting with the play-by-play voice of the Lansing Lugnuts, Jesse Goldberg Strassler. Isaac, you have seen the new uniforms and the new hats. You're a pretty stylish guy. I mean, you're always...
Very, you know, of course.
And what I love about Isaac's style is Isaac, you know, he kind of reminds me of Macklemore. You know that song? What is that song I'm thinking of, dude?
A thrift store or thrift shop?
Thrift shop. Because Isaac, he's always finding these cool looking threads at the thrift shop. And I'm like, dude, I didn't see that on Macy's rack last week. Where'd you get that from? So I'm curious. You're a stylish dude. What do you think of the new unis?
Love them. I think the new script is great. I'm really excited. I think it always adds so much when, as a team, you can rebrand yourself. It helps redefine the team, redefine the community. And I'm looking at the roster right now. This is a team with nobody over the age of 24. You want a new, fresh look? They've got a new, fresh team to match it.
We've got 30 seconds. Let's go to line two right now. Do we have Ray from Indiana? Or no?
Looks like Ray dropped, actually.
Okay, Ray dropped. All right, well, we have 30 seconds left in the show. I don't know if you've seen the footage of Kentavious Caldwell Pope, Isaac. Guard for the Detroit Pistons. Of course, the Pistons are coming down the home stretch of the regular season here, trying to fight for an eighth and final playoff spot in the NBA's Eastern Conference. I don't believe they are going to get that spot. But it's even going to become more difficult now, seeing as though one of the star players in Kentavious Caldwell Pope has this quote unquote distraction going on. But I must say, after watching the footage, man, Kentavious Caldwell Pope handled that very well, Isaac. Check it out if you haven't seen it.
Handled it well for a DUI. Still not sure if that's the situation you want to be in.
Not at all. Not at all. I mean, you know, he had a shot of cognac, two shots of cognac, and then had water the rest of the night. But, dude, you got to be smarter than that. Got to be smarter.
NBA player. Uber everywhere.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you, right? We'll elaborate more on that conversation and more on tomorrow's Current Sports. Thanks to Jesse Goldberg Strassler. Thanks to all of you out there for listening. Take care and be easy, people.